This is Olympic champion Scott Hamilton. Yes, the real Scott Hamilton. And you're listening to the other Scott Hamilton show, where you should be entertained, informed, and maybe even amused. Just don't expect any backflips. I mean, have you seen him skate?
New baseball coach, Clemson. First big hire into Graham Neff. Part of it's timing, part of it's him making a statement, I have no doubt. What that statement is, expectations elevated across the board, and they're going to invest to meet those expectations. $1 million a year, man. I mean, basically doubling Monty Lee's salary. That speaks volumes. That alone says so much. And I have to think that could be the norm going forward. Graham Neff seems like he's pretty committed to elevating everything. Introductory press conference yesterday. Will Vandervoort, Sports Illustrated Clemson, was there. He's joining us now on the Saitama Hotline. Will, good morning.
Good morning, Scott. How you doing, buddy?
I am very well, sir. Appreciate you hopping on. What was your biggest takeaway from the press conference yesterday?
I think the biggest takeaway was it just felt like the Bill Wilhelm, Jack Leggett, that era was ushered back into Clemson with the hiring of Eric Backage. They were all there yesterday. I mean, it was, you know, you heard Graham Neff said it was a standing room only, and he was accurate. It was standing room only. I mean, the place was packed. And since the players were all playing summer league ball, so, you know, there wasn't like he could talk to his players because they're all up at Cape Cod and other summer leagues around the country. You know, he did a Zoom to meet the players, so he hasn't personally met his players yet, probably for another month or so. You know, so there wasn't any – there was like maybe one or two players there, and then the rest was just full of former players and coaches from the Jack Leggett, Bill Wilhelm era. Obviously, Clemson administrators and dignitaries were there, and, of course, Backage's family, and then, of course, a ton of media. But it really did feel like, you know, Clemson was going back to its roots of what made Clemson baseball one of the top programs in the country for so many years, and that seemed like, you know, that was what Graham was going for when he started the hire, and he wanted not only bring in, I think, you know, a guy with Clemson connections that can kind of bring that back, but also go out and get one of the best coaches in the country and you know, in Backage. And Eric Backage was a guy, you know, so people know. I mean, he took Michigan. I'll say that again. He took Michigan to the finals of the College World Series. That's not norm. The Big Ten baseball is not – Big Ten is not known for its baseball. And for him to take a Michigan team to 50 wins and get to the finals of the College World Series a couple of years ago, it's a big deal. And he did a good job at Maryland, too, when Maryland was in the ACC. I think this is a home run hire for Neff. And he knew it was big. He knew he's got to get a guy that can stay here 15 years. And I think he's got one. I think Backage told me yesterday, I asked him, is this your dream job? And he said, no doubt. This is a job. This is one of those jobs you always want, and I wanted this job. And Clemson is a place everybody in the country wants to come to. It's one of those few schools in the country that you want to coach at.
You know, I was saying last segment that he seems to be like a guy who bets on himself. And here's why I say that. This is a guy who started off as a volunteer assistant making $0. I mean, he wasn't getting anything. What did he say? He got paid in Gatorade bars or something like that, and he's going to watch.
Exactly.
$1 movies.
Paid at Power Bars.
Yeah, so he's doing that. He knows he's, you know, he has a college degree. He has a college degree. He's a volunteer assistant coach. He could go get a job. He could go start a career in any other field, but this is what he wanted. So he bet on himself that he could turn that very humble beginning into something significant. He obviously did. I mean, he's going to get paid $6.25 million over 6 years. But I think he also likes to feel the pressure. And I think he did it again yesterday. And, Will, I want to get your take on it. And it might have been you who asked him the question. I apologize if I've got it mistaken. But he was asked what is going to be his strategy with regards to recruiting. And the first thing he said, dominate South Carolina. I thought that was just an incredible way to start off a tenure as a head coach.
Yeah, it was. It really struck me the answer he gave when he said, "Yeah, we're going to drop a pebble in the pond, basically, and you know it's going to have the ripple effect." And he says the first ripple is we're going to dominate the state of South Carolina, and then we're going to go in and dominate the Southeast, and then we're going to go and recruit the Eastern Seaboard and up into Maine and New York. It was interesting he listed those places because, Scott, that's where Jack Leggett dominated recruiting for Clemson. A lot of Clemson stars of the past that we've seen come through, become All-Americans, and go on and play in the big leagues have come from that area that he mentioned in recruiting. That wasn't by accident because he worked with Tim Corbin at Vanderbilt and was a recruiting guy there where they recruited the same areas. He hit the spots that made Clemson baseball good in the past, and I think that's what he's going to do again. And why wouldn't you, you know, go hit the areas that you know can make you successful? And there's good baseball in South Carolina, always has been. And so it's huge. The first thing you need to do is own this state. You know, I think when you look at Dabo Swinney at Clemson football, that's what he does. He owns the state. When there's the best prospects in the state of South Carolina, Dabo's going to get them. And, you know, so it starts at home, and then you carry it through. And he even mentioned how Dabo Swinney has helped Clemson in a lot of ways because the football program with their national brand has got Clemson more in the door for all the other sports such as baseball. And he's going to try to play off that too. I thought that was smart of him to kind of play off that with Dabo, and then also mention the soccer team and Coach Mike Noonan and what John Whitman's doing with the softball program.
Yeah, I agree. That's very savvy. I mean, you got to leverage all the resources you have, and obviously having an elite football program is a really valuable resource. I've spoken with Brad Brownell about that very topic, and I also agree that saying they're going to dominate South Carolina was key, and the Dabo model, that's a good example of that, Will, because think about this. The narrative around the entire state with regards to football recruiting changed when Dabo started really working the high schools in this state, and a lot of schools, high schools, that had traditionally been quote-unquote Carolina schools started to become Clemson schools, part of it because of Will Muschamp and his inability to really cultivate those relationships, but more because Dabo was so focused on getting into those schools. And I think if he does the same thing, we could see a shift in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, it's important. I think you start at home always, and Backage gets that. He understands, you know, you got to be tight with the high school coaches in this state and the travel ball coaches, if you will, because those are the guys you're going to spend a lot of time talking to. And, you know, you want to make sure those relationships are good. South Carolina per capita doesn't have the most, you know, as we know, because it's a small state, you know, so you're not getting tons of great, you know, ball players out of South Carolina, but you want to make sure that you're in position that when a Will Taylor does come through, you're able to get him, right? And, you know, and I think, you know, that's what, you know, Monty Lee was doing that. I thought Monty did a good job in the state of South Carolina, and I think Backage is going to kind of, you know, jump on what Monty was doing and try to take it to another level. And I think that's what you're going to see with him. I mean, go look at his roster at Michigan, and look, he recruited all over the country and got some outstanding ball players that helped him have the success he did building a Michigan program that was nothing before he got there. And keep in mind, he did the same thing in Maryland. He took a Maryland program when it was in the ACC, keep in mind. He wasn't coaching Maryland when they were in the Big Ten. He coached Maryland in the ACC and got them to a winning record by his third year. And trust me, I watched Maryland play during those years. They were horrible before Backage got there. But he came in, brought in some good players, got him to believe in him, and by the time he got out of there, he had them winning to believe in themselves. And now Maryland's a pretty decent baseball program, making the NCAA tournament regularly, and I think they won the regular season title of the Big Ten. He kind of started that in those 3 years he was there. So he's proven in the past at Michigan and at Maryland that he can build a program, and he starts it with recruiting. And you notice the first thing he said yesterday was, we're going to build this program through recruiting and player development. He emphasized recruiting and player development several times during that press conference, and that really stood out to me, you know, more than anything about the stuff he was talking about. And the fact he says, he said, we're going to win a national championship here at Clemson. And, man, I looked around the room when he said that, and everybody was just like, wow, did he just say that? You know, talking about, as you mentioned, he doesn't mind putting pressure on himself. He just did yesterday.
We're joined by Will Vandervoort, SI Clemson. Follow him on Twitter at Steeler Will. And you're echoing exactly what I said in the opening segment, that he said it would all be built on recruiting and player development. And I had to think that that was the biggest criticism under Monty Lee, that the level of player, the caliber of recruit, had drifted in a wayward direction when compared to the classes of Jack Leggett, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? What ultimately did end Monty Lee, and how will we look back at his era as Clemson's coach? Because it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't up to the expectation. It definitely wasn't up to the expectation that Graham Neff is setting.
Yeah, it look. Monty's a friend of mine, and Monty was great. Man, Monty was great to me, great to the other guys in the media, and you know, obviously gonna miss working with him, but. Yeah, I mean, I would say overall, I mean, he won 64% of his games at Clemson, something like that. I mean, so it was, he did have success. He won an ACC championship. You know, he hosted three regionals. I wouldn't say Monty's was a failure by any stretch. I thought, you know, he's just going to be a footnote in the Clemson history. And I thought, you know, Eric did a good job yesterday. Yes, several times he brought Monty and put Monty into that list with Wilhelm and Jack Leggett, because he knows Monty, you know, didn't do. I mean, if Monty was anywhere else but Clemson, you know, he's still the head coach today. But as you mentioned, you can't miss the NCAA tournament back-to-back years at Clemson. You know, it hasn't happened since 1985-86. In those years, it was only 40 teams got in. And then, you know, you can't have a losing record at Clemson, which he did the previous season. That's the first time that's happened since 1957. You know, those things went against him, and I think that hurt. But where it all, you mentioned player development, and I thought more so with pitching was where Clemson lacked player development. And they just never seemed to really get that good weekend rotation where they had three guys they could count on the weekend. They never had consistency with their starters, and that led to issues where they burned out their bullpen. I thought from a bullpen standpoint, they were always pretty good, especially early in the year, but they burned out the bullpen because they couldn't get more than five innings from their starting pitching at the most, and it really hurt them. And I think that's where their lack of development really, really hurt. And when that started showing, I think that's what hurt recruiting, because players, you know, everybody asks, why does Dabo Swinney get some of the great players and all? Well, because look at all the guys that are playing in the NFL. Look at all the guys that have been first-round draft picks that come out of Clemson. It's easy for Dabo Swinney to go sell that because he's showing they're developing players, right? Like a Cleveland Farrell, right? A guy who, you know, nobody knew of, and he makes him a first-round pick. Isaiah Simmons, a guy nobody knew, they knew of, and he makes him a first-round pick, top 10 pick for those guys. That's kind of easy to sell. Well, Monty didn't have that, and when the players start seeing, especially pitchers, hey, you guys aren't getting drafted. Pitchers aren't getting drafted. They're not doing much, you know. And I think that kind of hurt Monty in the recruiting part of it. Because they just really struggled the last 3 years. You know, you go back to 2019 when the season ended at Ole Miss, they lost that regional. That's where it all started. And Monty brought up how they got to do a better job recruiting and developing pitchers, and they really never did.
A couple more minutes, Will Vandervoort, SI Clemson. Well, you mentioned Leggett being there, other former coaches, players, so on and so forth. I found it really interesting when he was specifically asked about Leggett and asked, you know, is he welcome around the program and all that. And I thought that was absolutely asinine, but whatever. But what kind of role can you expect Leggett to have? I mean, I think that is a tremendous asset and a good guy that you can lean on without feeling the pressure, given that Leggett's been gone long enough. He's, you know, he's down in his golden years now. He's not going to be a threat to take over the job. I can't see that but being nothing but an absolute plus.
Coach Leggett told me years ago the one thing he always wanted to do, and this was his goal, and this is why he was so upset and hurt when he got forced out at Clemson by Dan Radakovich. His goal was to always retire like Bill Wilhelm and be somebody that the new coach could lean on for support and just anything and help him out with anything. And it really hurt him that what happened at Clemson, and it was hard for him to get past that. And you know, he wanted to do that because Coach Wilhelm did that for him. And so this is his opportunity to do that. So what's his exact role going to be? We don't know yet at this time. I asked Jack, I asked Eric, and I also asked Graham, you know, what's going to be the thing. But the thing I got out of it is Jack is going to have some role in this program. he's going to do something on the support side. And let's keep in mind, so people understand, you know, they see Jack, the scruffy guy in the media, talks to the media and all this. But Jack Leggett is a real personable guy, really is, one of the most personal people I know. He can go in and steal a room. You know, he becomes the center of the room because he talks to everybody and makes everybody feel at home. He's great with the boosters. They all love him. The big ones I'm talking about, the ones that give a lot of money. And, you know, Jack raised most of that money, or a good part of that money, I should say, for that player's facility. By the way, yesterday was the first time he ever stepped in the building he built.
Oh, wow.
First time he told me that as me and him were walking in. And so, you know, Jack is going to be great for Bakich to lean on. He's going to be able to help him with the boosters, there's no doubt. He's going to be able to help him with other things, with high school coaches around the state and the country, because Jack's got a great, not only tree of coaches that, you know, that he knows and stuff, but just friends and stuff he's made throughout his, you know, 50-plus years in the business, throughout that'll help, and he can lean on both young and old coaches, and I think that's going to benefit Eric Bakich and the Clemson program in a lot of ways. So he'll have some role. What that official role is, I've been told it could be something like Woody McCorvey is to Dabo Swinney, is what I've kind of heard. So I think he's going to be a part of the support staff in some way at Clemson. We just don't know exactly how yet.
And Will, we only have about a minute left, but Graham Neff is coming back on the show next week. I'm going to ask him this question, but I want to hear your response before I pose it to the athletic director. What else can he do from an administrative side, from being the athletic director? What else can he do to ensure that those expectations that he has set in place are actually met? What can he do to help Eric Bakich?
Well, they got to find a way, and I know they're doing that now. They're doing that with some of the NIL stuff that they're trying to do and all. They got to find a way to get Clemson more competitive with the schools that use endowments to recruit, such as Vanderbilt, such as, you know, Virginia, and now you got Duke and Wake Forest doing it. These are private schools that can actually, a lot of them are private schools that have these huge endowments or huge alumni bases that Clemson just doesn't have. People ask me all the time, like, why can't Clemson do an endowment? I'm like, well, it doesn't work that way. It works with the academic side, so they have to go by that. They do have the academic common market that's come back this year. This will be the first year back that they're actually getting a recruit off of it. That'll help a little bit, but it's not going to solve all the issues. So the main thing Graham's got to do, and he'll probably be able to go in more, a little more detail with you, they got to figure out a way to get Clemson competitive when it comes to – and I don't understand why the NCAA continues to allow this, because it is a disadvantage for schools like Clemson when you got 11.7 to recruit off of, and Vanderbilt's over there giving guys 70% rides, academic scholarships and stuff, because they have a huge endowment fund that allows them to play off of that. And schools like Clemson don't have that, and – you know, you can only do so much, right? I mean, if you're a mom and dad, and you can give Clemson saying, okay, we'll give you $10,000, but you're gonna pay $30,000 out of pocket. And Vanderbilt saying, hey, we'll give you $30,000, and you only got to pay $10,000 out of your pocket. Where do you think you're gonna send your kid to school? You know,
even my public school education knows that.
Right, that's what they're playing against, and not just Clemson, but a lot of schools are playing against it, and so they got to figure out a way to get more competitive. With that, and that's not an easy thing to do, but if anybody can do it, Graham, he's a smart guy, man. I mean, a lot of things you've seen at Clemson, there's a reason why Dan Radakovich leaned on him. There's a reason why Dan Radakovich recommended him to be the new athletic director, and why the Board of Trustees did it, because Graham Neff is a smart individual, one of the smartest people I've ever known, to be honest with you.
He's Will Vandervoort, SI Clemson. Follow him on Twitter, at Steeler Will. Will, given the depth of your Clemson knowledge, you're also one of the smartest people I know, man. Excellent, excellent stuff this morning. We appreciate you coming on.
Hey, man, I'm always smart when it comes to sports, but I appreciate it.
Hey, own your role, man. Own your space. You got this.
That's right, buddy.
All right, appreciate
Thanks,
Scott.
You, I appreciate you, buddy.
All righty, man. That's Will Vandervoort, SI Clemson. New age. I'm wondering what it looks like in 5 years. I mean, you got a lot to work with already. It's not like they're building this athletic department from scratch. There are already so many things going in a positive direction, and there are very few things absolutely rock bottom, if anything. It's easier to start when you're building from the fourth floor. Wait and see.